We are back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs, and we're also always featuring the success of entrepreneurship. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show, but really secondary in my importance today because our show, for the record, is being sponsored by the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers. That means my co-host is the indomitable Mark Furman.
Jeffrey, great to be with you. Very much looking forward to hearing from our next guest.
Yes. Well, Mark, I always look forward to these shows, for the record, and being with you. They're special times for me. Our next guest, someone who I've heard is an outstanding attorney and litigator, Heidi Lawson from the law firm of Mintz Levin. Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here today.
Great. Heidi, why don't you tell us a little bit about your practice?
Sure. So my practice focuses in the insurance area. I'm hoping that nobody actually reached for their dial and shut the radio off after I said insurance. But I grew up in the insurance industry, so I've done claims, underwriting, sales. After I was working in the business for 9-10 years, I decided to move on, became a lawyer. And so my practice entails all areas of insurance. It includes litigation, as well as regulatory, and a lot of product development. That's probably one of the more exciting areas I've been working on recently with the rise of InsurTech and also with the award of the 2028 Olympics to the city of Los Angeles. I've been working on some really interesting projects.
Well, you said the magic word, the 2028 Olympics. I mean, that's clearly an interesting topic. How are you related to that at all?
So I actually started working on the Boston bid for the 2024 Olympics. And one of the key issues in Boston, if in the news at the time, was, you know, the financial risk to the city. They looked at putting together a really comprehensive but innovative insurance program. My firm was involved. I got involved, put together some really interesting insurance products, which basically means that I took a blank sheet of paper, drafted it. It was a policy that covered the city of Boston and the bid contract. The bid did not go through, as you know. The city withdrew. LA 28, which at the time was LA 24, was watching this. They called my team, and ever since we have been working with LA 24, and now it's LA 28, and the delivery of the Olympics. So doing similar kind of work, putting together some really innovative insurance products, we've developed a product to backstop the financial risk to the city of Los Angeles now. So nobody thought product development was really interesting until LA 28 came along, and also with the insurance technology and the rise of InsurTech in the entrepreneurial world, it's become a real hot item. People used to run away from me if I told them I developed insurance products, but now they actually find it interesting.
So I've always apologized for my ignorance. I always find it better when I think that I'm not smart so that I don't assume something. You're developing the products for the insurance companies?
Actually, it's usually the reverse. It's usually a private equity firm, or in this case, LA 28, or in the case of InsurTech entrepreneurs. They see a market need, or they have a need. They come to me. I develop the product. I work with brokers in the market, and that product is then taken to the market, and the insurance companies bid on it. And essentially, so it's a reversed process. I've been doing this for 20 years. And it didn't become really popular until about 6 months, a year ago.
Interesting. So there's an unlimited downside risk to having the Olympics economically. So this product would manage the risk in some fashion and cap the liability.
Yes.
Of
Thank
LA.
You, Mark. That helped me.
Except for the characterization of an unlimited downside risk. I don't think I'll have you be the spokesperson.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It did help me.
It's my,
to the insurance it's, markets or to LA 24.
That's right.
I never thought of Mark as glib before, but it really helped.
I'm really the glasses half full type of person. But there are so many innovative products that have arisen in the insurance industry, like in corporate transactions, rep and warranty insurance that are very popular today, aren't they?
Yes. I guess, rep and warranty, I remember writing one of the first policies 15 years ago,
okay.
So I don't feel it, it's gained in popularity, so I think it feels a little bit more innovative. Okay. But some of the more innovative products that I've started to work on are in the solar industry. So basically ensuring different risks, including the risks of the investors investing in the solar industry, really interesting warranty products. Also working on episodic coverage for drones, on the board of advisory board of Ascend, which is a really great startup in the in this area. And also working on like rent payment insurance, just different things that are unlocking entirely new markets as opposed to redeveloping D&O insurance or redeveloping another kind of coverage that's been out there for a while. So it's arising out of an identification of needs in the marketplace and then insurance being used to address those needs.
So my practice has caused me to understand the importance of cybersecurity.
Yes. Yes.
How old is that type of coverage?
I was looking at, and they didn't call it cybersecurity, at least 15, 18 years ago.
Really?
It was some sort of technology coverage. It used to have different names. The policies were so poorly written that I really don't think by the time if you managed to get to the end of reading one, that it actually covered anything. So it's improved. But there's a lot of variation on the cyber front. I think there's probably easily over 100 forms I read recently.
Really?
Yes.
Very important coverage for people, for companies.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, Mark, being an attorney like you, looks at it differently than I do. I look at it from the entrepreneurial human element side. How did you get into this whole insurance area? I always find it interesting when I find attorneys that are specializing, how they sort of evolved into a specific area that doesn't seem to be that common.
So I worked my way through college, and my one of my best friends told me that they had just gotten a job at USAA Insurance, and it paid $6.38 an hour, which at the time was so much money. And I was 19 years old. She gave me the phone number of somebody to call. I called them, and that was how I got into insurance. I started working in the loss report unit. I started working in auto claims and homeowners claims. And so it just evolved through the years. And then eventually, having worked my way through college, I left that job, went to law school, and it just continued. So the minute I joined an international law firm, White & Case, in New York, and also then Debevoise and Plimpton, I've lived in London, I'm an English solicitor as well. But the insurance sort of has just followed me around. So over the years, I've worked as a regulator for the Financial Services Authority in London. And as soon as somebody knows I know something about insurance, other than if I was at a social event, people tend to run away from me. But if I'm in a group of lawyers or if I'm, with board of directors or anybody on the business side, they do tend to come because they want to know, people have loads of questions about insurance. So it isn't just the innovative. But that's how I got, it started.
So naturally, because a friend got a job.
It was exactly. And it was the highest paying job I had heard of in my life to that date.
Well, it still is. You're still making money from insurance.
I think so. Yeah, it's gotten
more than
$6
an hour.
A little better than $6.37 an hour. But yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's always, and then I fell in love with it. I like it because it's really academic and a lot of people don't understand it. So.
It actually sounds very creative what you do.
That's what I really
design,
like about it. Yes.
An insurance program and then have companies bid on it. That's very cool.
Well, it's interesting because people come to me and they say, well, this is the problem. Can you design a product to resolve this issue? Like one of the most interesting ones we did recently is there was a company trying to get financing for a building, but they couldn't get financing because there was the tenants were subsidized. And the bank was worried that if too many tenants moved out, that they would lose their government, sort of assistance. And we actually developed an insurance policy that covered if too many tenants moved out of the building at the same time. It was really interesting. It could be for all different kinds of risks.
Hmm.
But it closed the deal. And that's what I really like. I like to find and do something that actually then makes a transaction go through or helps to, you know, open up like new apartments available to tenants or allows businesses to actually grow. Because otherwise, if you don't have insurance, a lot of times people can't do business with you. So it's I find that part really interesting and challenging, and it is very creative, which is what I love about it.
So in your world, insurance is always changing. You're right at the forefront of that.
Yes.
So you really are an entrepreneur.
Yes.
In a lot of ways.
Yes.
And that's unusual. Sometimes lawyers are sort of, they're given the law and they practice the law within a context. You're creating the context.
Yes. That's the best part. And I think it's because of the business background. So, and also having been on claims, sales, underwriting. So it isn't just the legal aspects or even the international legal aspects. It's the practical business aspects. It's the, you know, knowledge of both, you know, UK and laws in the U.S. from
a
regulatory
standpoint.
Do
you see yourself as unique within the profession?
Yes. don't most people think they're really unique?
Well, also, you work for a big law firm.
I mean,
there's a culture of a law firm. Do you sort of see yourself as like counterculture at all or different than most lawyers?
Very much. And I think if you talk to some of my colleagues, they would definitely say that I was different than most of the lawyers.
Well, you'd have to be.
Yes.
That's what I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. No, so it's, and in my law practice, you know, we're very creative, and I love building things, and hopefully one day, fingers crossed, I will launch a company, but that would be for another radio program.
Wow.
So,
exciting to have you on. Will you come back again?
Yes.
Great.
Definitely.
And we know we're going to get at least 5 listeners to the segment, right? That's your family. Heidi, if someone wants to get hold of you, how would they find you?
At Mintz Levin. So it's halawson at mintz.com. I'm also on LinkedIn.
Good.
So they can get a hold of me there.
Great. Thanks for being on today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you
And
very
thank
much.
You, Mark, for hosting us, and Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing, Mark Furman from the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers, who they both sponsor For the Record. And this is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.